Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, praise team. God bless you all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I see that a lot of family have traveled. And many family are not with us this morning. They've gone on vacation or something. Let's keep everybody that have traveled in our prayers in Jesus' name. That the Lord will bring them back safely. Amen. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. I just want us to worship. No music, please. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. My Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to be, no clapping hands, just worship the Lord. My Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. My Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Jireh, you are worthy to be praised. Alpha and Omega, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, is a Jesus, you are worthy. Ashekamakuriba. I say you are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to raise your hand unto the Lord and wave unto God. Stand on your feet and wave unto Jesus. Is a Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Over Jireh, you are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. Jehovah Nissi. You are worthy to be praised, Jehovah Jireh. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. Shekapakuli Masara. You are worthy to be praised, Jehovah Nissi. You are worthy to be praised, Jehovah Rapha. You are worthy to be praised, Alpha and Omega. You are worthy to be praised, Lion of Judah. You are worthy to be praised, My Way Maker. You are worthy to be praised. Obuzokberazo, you are worthy to be praised, oh. Mighty Jesus, you are worthy. Miracle Worker, you are worthy to be praised. Lion of Judah, you are worthy to be praised. Obuzokberazo, you are worthy to be praised. Mighty Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Nissi, you are worthy to be praised. El Messiah, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Nissi, you are worthy to be praised. Brother James, help us out. Oh, you are worthy to be praised, oh. Jehovah Rapha, you are. Now you can clap your hands and dance unto the Lord. Is it Jesus?
Cause you are worthy to be praised. Oku Chineke, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, mighty Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, Alpha and Omega, you are worthy to be praised. Mighty Jesus, you are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. Is it Jesus? You are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Nisi, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah. Mighty Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Mighty Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Is it Jesus, you are worthy to be praised, O Lord. You are worthy of my praise, O Lord. You are worthy of our praise, O Lord. Is it Jesus? You are worthy to be praised. Is it Jesus? You are worthy to be praised. Mighty Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Is it Jesus? You are worthy to be praised. Is it Jesus? You are worthy to be praised. Yeah, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Rapha, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Jireh, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Jireh, you are worthy to be praised. Jehovah Nissi, you are worthy to be praised, O Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. This morning, by the grace of God, we're going to speak on vanity of vanity. And what? All is amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. Father, bless your word this morning. Bring to bear the promises, Lord, that you will see us through, you will keep us. You will walk with us, Lord, you will never leave or forsake us according to your word. This world is nothing. There is nothing here but for Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, I will have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for all you have done for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The preacher Solomon was one of the few people on earth that received a blank check from God. A blank check. Blank one. In fact, I don't know of any except Jesus Christ, who the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. But Solomon received a blank check from God. Ask, the Lord asked him, told him, and I will do it. Demand of me, says the Lord, and I will perform. And thinking about it as I was taking a walk, I said, Lord, if God asks me that kind of question, if God asks you that kind of question, if you know that is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end, the ocean that never dries up, if he will come and ask me and you, ask, what will I do? What will I request? Solomon answered correctly, in righteousness. He said, Lord, these mighty people you have given me to be king, ruler over them. I am young. I don't really know what to do here. All that my father David has prepared me amount to nothing. This is time for practicality. I ask for wisdom and for knowledge that I may lead these people. And God said, wow, this is a man that have answered correctly. You did not ask for wealth. You did not ask for riches. You did not ask for honor. You did not even ask for long life or the life of the enemies that is always around you. None of these things did you ask, but you asked me correctly. For this, wisdom and knowledge is granted you. And on top of it, you shall receive honor. You shall receive wealth. And you shall receive prosperity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he went on to receive prosperity to an extent that none before him was like him. He had it all. He was reputed to have about net worth of $2.2 trillion. One person. Bring all the wealthy people around us today, add them all up. They didn't even come close. One person had it all. He has every riches, every wealth, anything that he can ask, he can need before him. So Solomon becomes great. And on top of that, he has wisdom and knowledge. And Solomon have an adventurous mind, an inquisitive kind of person. He wants to search out things. He wants to see things. He wants to understand things. He doesn't just want to exist. He wants to know why things happen, why things exist, why this happens and why that happens. And so, at a point, he went to search out what are the portions of sons of men under the sun. What are the rewards for our travels? What is the end result of our labors in life? Why are we here? What are we doing? Are we going anywhere? In chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, he starts to search. He noticed certain things that is troubling to him. Generations comes and goes. Generation upon generation comes and goes. He noticed that there are circles, there are repeats. There is chasing around the tail, going around in circles that happens to the sons of men. He looked again unto the heavens and saw a repeat of the same circumstances. That even the sun rises and goes down. Rises and goes down. Rises and goes down. Repeat circles chasing around the tails. He looked upon the heavens, the rains, the rivers. He noticed the hydraulic system of the world. How the rain evaporates to heaven, condenses, comes down again, repeat the same process, comes down again, and so on and so forth. My God, this is troubling to him. He noticed so many things in this way that shows him that life is a circle, an endless circle. Life seems like a repeat in every aspect of life. He said that the wind even comes from the south and goes to the north and goes around again. Everything seems to be walking around in circle. And he asks himself, is it all we have in life? What are the benefits of our life? What are the pursuits of happiness? The unending toils. What is our portion under the sun? Is it endless circle? One generation comes and another generation follows. And this thing created a concern in the life of this man, king, blessed individual, anointed. So he decided to do some few things. He went on a search of what life is about. He did some things, he found out some things, and he also at the end gave a recommendation. What did Solomon do? He decided to find out the source of happiness. What we call horizontal happiness. The satisfaction that is derived from life, from achievement, from your work, from your labor. Now, many of us sitting here cannot afford to be bad. Being bad is costly. It takes a lot of money to do certain things that is even bad. It takes a lot of resources. But he has everything. He has thousands of soldiers under his command. He has thousands of servants under his command. He has monies under his command. The riches of the world was flowing into Jerusalem. 660 something shekels of gold on a yearly basis. The Bible said that he made silver to become like stones in Jerusalem. So this man with all his resources decided to find out what is life. What is the benefit of life under the sun? Our toils, our labors, are they in vain? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I tasted of the best wine. The wine connoisseurs from the whole world came, bring their ships, the ones from Egypt, the ones from Euphrates, every part of the world bring the best. And all everything he's doing, he said, he does it retaining my reasoning. I didn't allow them to go. My wisdom remained with me, says Solomon. He tasted them, plus other things that goes with it. He said, well, what of building houses and mansions? He built mansions that makes what we have today look like nothing. We paint with gold. He decorated with real gold. He plastered the walls with gold. The throne was of gold and ivory. The staircase rising to his stones. Everything he spared no expenses. No fulfillment there. He built gardens. Water works that makes Julius, what they call Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, look like nothing. He built such wonderful water works, gardens, orchards, and everything. Everywhere, anywhere he wants it, he does it. No satisfaction there. He garnished women. The best of the best was being sent from every part of the world. He has about 1,000 of them, the one we can name or number. If that guy take a walk downside Jerusalem, downtown, every one or two women out of three are probably his wife and concubines. Exotic ones from Egypt, great-looking ones from Ethiopia, the ones from Arabia, Britannica, and every one of them, they were shipping to him. Every king was fighting one another to give him the best of their daughters. No satisfaction there. He got servants in the thousands and had servants born into his house. This is in chapter 2. There were just these things, everything you can think of. In the military, say he has 40,000 stalls for his horses, for chariots, 40,000. That is like F-35. He has 40,000 of them. He has, when he decided to try out music, he said, I fashioned musical instruments to satisfy the highest of princes. They are not made with wood, any type of wood. They were decorated with gold. He brought in musicians from all over the whole world. He indulged himself to his satisfaction. Nothing there. He said, I went after peculiar treasures. Peculiar ones. That is treasures that is peculiar, that is not left to peons like me and you. It is people that have money when you go to bid for those things, I don't know, they draw it up, pictures and stuff. You see some of them selling for 10 million. I look at it, I can't figure what they are drawing there, but it sold for 100 million and so on. He gathered all of them in every fashion, in every type, peculiar treasures of the world, stockpiled them in Jerusalem. No happiness there. He looked upon all of them and tried everything and said, this is vanity and folly. There is nothing in this life. What can I go? He was looking under the sun. He was trying everything under the sun. He was trying his best to see what can bring fulfillment and satisfaction and enduring happiness under the earth. Some of us may say, oh, if only I can marry today, my life will be complete. If only I can buy that car. If only I can build a house. If only I can go. And these things are good. We should pursue them and get them. This is part of God's blessing. But what are in it is the question we want to ask ourselves. That is him trying to search out, him trying to do to find fulfillment in any of these things. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 12, 8. This is his, what he found out. What did he say? Vanity of vanities, said the preacher, all is vanity. Futileness, worthless. He looked, he spent, he tried, he envisioned. There is nothing he imagined. He said, anything I set my heart to do, I did it. He has no limitation of money. As he's thinking it, it's being done. As he's writing it down, it's being carried out. As he's saying it, hundreds are running to fulfill it. Oh, today we are going to do party that will make, you know, all party, every kind of party look like nothing. They put it together. People's imagination are put to work to satisfy the life or what he assumed to be life under the sun. But none of them, every one of them come short. And then he concluded, my God, there is really nothing new under the sun here. Whatever has been is, and whatever is has been. There is nothing in it in between. It is a circle of chasing the tail. It's a futile attainment to what? Nothing. And he concluded that all is vanity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before I go to his recommendation, I want to say that people will realize that life is vanity when they come to certain knowledge of certain things. And you pray that God will bring you to that level when you realize some of these things I'm going to mention now. Because he said, grant us, O Lord, wisdom to number our days. in Psalm 90, verse 12. That we may number our days so that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, many of us pine and cry, and I say, search out, look for, get these great things, nice clothes, nice jewelry, nice cars, nice houses, nice children, nice whatever, wife, nice husband, every one of them, whatever you think is wonderful, pursue it and get it. But remind yourself that there is one thing that is worth it. Because these things are vain. There is no satisfaction in them. There is no fulfillment in them. There is no enduring. They are all but fleeting things. And these things, when you actually pursue them, you see that there is conditions, variables that make them up and down, up and down, up and down. A lot of variables in between. So, when one realizes, one, that this life you are living is not yours, that this life, I've had many people say life is a gift, life is a gift. One day I was called to speak to a group of people because somebody had died, a great man among us, was the speaker, and thinking about it, I tried to speak for a few minutes on this particular point, that life is not a gift, life is a loan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you realize that life is a loan, it's realizing that life is full of vanity. That your life is not a gift from God, at least in the perspective of Christianity, of believing system, that it is a loan and not a gift. Why? Because a gift is a gift. When I give you a gift of whatever it is, you don't have to return it. When I give you a gift of money, it's a gift. When I give you a gift of a car, it's a gift. You can drive it and wreck it, it doesn't bother me at that point because it is your car. But when you realize that life is a loan, because if it is a gift, you will never return it. Some of us will decide to live for 3,000 years or 150 years. God wants to take it back. I'm not ready to give you back my life today, sir. Just hold it there. It's a gift. You're giving it to me. But the loan is here. Take it and keep. I'm coming back for it after or at a point. And so, life is like what you have to return. And if you realize this, it's realizing that life is full of vanities. If you have to return it, then what is it? What after that? What measure do you put to it? Value do you put to it? The Bible starts to speak on the sometimes about a rich man who had it all and thought he had it all. His harvest yielded so much that he said, oh my God, my barns cannot contain it. I've exhausted all my options here in terms of where to stockpile things. I'm going to build a bigger and better barn. And I'm going to just harvest and stockpile it. And I will say to my soul, soul, do what? Take a break. It's time to relax. Enjoy. Throw party. Enjoy. Do this. Enjoy. Travel. Enjoy. I said that night, what happened? The loaner called the account. Tonight, I want you to return that life. Oh, man, can you give me a few days to enjoy this thing I stockpiled? No, it's tonight. Just do something. Do something. Let me hold on to this life for a longer time. No, it is not, say the Lord. By the way, that is found in Luke chapter 12, 18, 21. You don't have to put it there. That life was called into nothing. Why do I say nothing? Because if that life belongs to you, if that life is an entitlement, you don't have to return it. But that day, the base was set. You are returning it back to God. And better be careful how you use that loan. Remember in the days of the old, as young kids, we used to borrow shoe. And we want to go visit or party or check out your girlfriend and you don't have good shoe in the school in those days. You come to the other one and say, can you loan me your shoe so that I can look better than I am in what I don't have? So they loan you a shoe. And then the person who loaned you a shoe come and saw you dancing and flying your leg up and down with that shoe, your leg touching your ear and stuff. And you guys on the dancing ride say, is that not my shoe that Emmanuel is messing up so? And suddenly you turn when you are abusing this shoe and gyrating with it and saw him looking at you angrily and say, my God, okay, Chukwu is going to ask me for a shoe later on. I better make sure that I don't tear it apart. So when you have a loan, you treat it like a loan. It's something you have to return. Something you have to give back. And it better be in the same condition that the loaner has given at the beginning. Some people even take pictures these days. Went to rent a car the other day. The guy walked around. Oh, there's a little scratch here. He marked it on the paper. So that when you return, if there's more than one scratch on that area, then you are in problem. So treat this life like a loan. It's recognizing that it is vanity at the end of the day. Part of life is what people look at is realizing the vanity of life is the legacy we leave behind. The legacy we leave behind. And the legacy we walk into. For some people talk of legacy we leave behind. What of what you are going to walk into? As you leave behind, you are going into another dimension. And I say that no matter your legacy, whatever you think of it, your legacy is worthless if it does not yield eternal life. We are dignitas. We are prestige. We are value. We are worthiness. Every one of them is pure useless if it does not, in the end, yield eternal life. If it does not impact people in a positive way in this life. So many of us, like Julius Caesar, was so concerned about his dignitas in life that he did everything he could to preserve it. All he walked around the circle is what will be. At the end, when they were slaughtering him, he covered his face. People interpreted it that he saw that all is vain at the end of the day. He was ashamed. Is that all these mighty Caesar become? Many of us look at life today as if all we have is here. If all you have is here, I am sorry for you. If all you have is on this earth, in your bank account, in your education, in your beauty, in your honor, in your this and that, whatever you think, if all of them is under the sun, I am truly sorry for you. You have lived, and you are living a worthless, useless life. Beauty. I've seen some people, I saw their pictures or their videos or them say they look like something from another world. The hair is such nice, fully luxurious hair, this and that. The skin is so, 50 years later, come and see the picture of the same person. Gravity is taking effect on every aspect. The skin that looks so smoothless and so this thing is dried up and wrinkled and shivering. It doesn't matter the amount of paint they put or get the best painters or whatever they call them, and it still doesn't, it can't cover it. Time is taking effect. Time is bearing the effect of what is meant to be, that we are basically nothing. Some say my honor. Some say my money, some say my wealth, some say my children, some say my wife, my husband, all this sin and my glory and this. Yes. Be thankful to God for them. But if that is all you are building and what you hold on to in this life, then your life is useless. Solomon tried it. He had it more than me and you. Many of us here, thanks be to God, are married to one woman or one man. If we are lucky, we have two cars, maybe one or nothing. Be able to have a house, you are paying mortgage or paid off is great. This man has it more than you in thousandfold, and he can afford more if he wants. He searched and searched and searched the source. What is life? What is our yield? What is our result? What is the dividend of this life? And he concluded, he said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Part of life at times is when people refuse to look at time. Solomon started to think and say, oh, there is a season. There is a time for every purpose under the sun. I want you to know that there is time for everything and there is a time out for everything also. It comes to an end. Time to be born. Time to die. Time for war. Time for peace. Time for everything. You notice that each one, everybody, everyone among us quotes of the time of things, but not of the timeout of things. Whatever has beginning has what? An end. Whatever is, will go. Goes around in circle. Turn around. Start. End. Start. End. Start. End. That is the portion of man under the sun. So he looked at all these things. Remind me of a story of I heard of one young man who did very well, went to school, got education, higher degree, higher this and that, graduated with distinction, and one day after the graduation ceremony in law degree, the father asked him, let's go for lunch, son. I said, yeah, sure. They went, him and dad. As they were eating, the father asked him, now, son, you have this distinction. What is the plan? What next? Say, well, as you know, with my higher education and everything, distinction in the school of law and all these accolades that they have heaped on me, all the great practices are calling me to come and work for them. I'm going to filter through them and choose the one I like most. Emmanuel and Emmanuel Associates, that's where we'll go. All right. That's good. What next after that? Say, well, you know, after I work for a short while, I'm going to have my own practice, set up my own business. So I said, that's good, son. What next? Say, you know, you're married and have wonderful children and good life. That's what next. That point, I'm going to find the love of my life and marry, and I'm going to settle down and raise family and stuff. So that's wonderful. What next? So you know what? I noticed that if you start investing early in life, I'm going to invest in real estate, build money, huge money. With money I made in my practice, I'm going to invest in real estate and do real well in life so that I'll be rich. World. So the father said, that's good, son. What next? Why is this man asking me what next in everything, for God's sake? Well, what next? You know what? At this point, I already have family. I already have life. I have career. I have business. I have money stockpiled in the bank. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to go sightseeing every exotic place in the whole world, India, Americas, Africa, whatever. I'm going to see it all. That's good. You enjoy the fruit of your labor. What next? Say, well, I guess I'll retire. Good. And what next? Well, I'll grow old. That's good to grow old. What next? I say, huh, my God. And they say, what next after I grow old? What next? What next? I'll die. I guess I will die. So with all your law degree and everything, you are guessing whether you will die at the end of it all. Ask yourself that question. I believe by God's grace, many of us sitting here will go in the rapture in Jesus' name. Amen. But if not, what next? What next? There is an end to all things. It doesn't matter how you want to paint it, hold it, or scrub it, whatever. There is an end to all things. What comes after that is where Solomon now has a problem. If you notice, I think 29 times he mentioned under the sun, the travels, the toils, the labors, the distance, all these things under the sun. Until he found out above the sun. What is above the sun? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. On that he gave us the answer on Ecclesiastes 12:13. He draw a conclusion. People who do research reach conclusion. People who do whatever, there have to be a conclusion at a point. Now he says here, without controversy, without any doubt, without any equivocation of any type, with all certainty and assurance, here are the conclusion of all matter. What? Read with me. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is what? This is the whole duty of man. You mean to tell me with all his research, with all his trial, he tried wine, he tried women, he tried building magnificent houses, he tried building mansion, waterworks, military build-up, everything you can think of, horses, peculiar treasures, name them. That me and you are fighting and toiling for every day. He made this conclusion. He reached this conclusion. Solomon decided with all his wisdom, his money and time he spent, that if your life is without Christ, for what he says, shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and do what? Lose his own very soul. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? Put together more than what Solomon have and dump it into your lap. Say, that is yours. The treasure of nations, the peculiar treasures of the whole world. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own very soul? So here is the conclusion of this man. And I want to bring that conclusion to you this morning. It's not only your life, but life of others. If your life does not make impact on people's life positively, interpretation of this chapter is to accept Jesus Christ and help people to accept Christ. That is interpretation of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The whole duty of a man
is for you to fear God and keep his commandment. What is it? Accept Jesus Christ. And your duty to other men summarized in this, that you try your possible best to lead souls to the kingdom of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the whole duty of a man. You say, well, what of other things we have need of in life? Of course. God has promised us to bless us, to multiply us, to give us, say, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all other things shall be added unto you. As I was telling my children, don't go and sit down and say, I'm seeking the Lord. You have to put the work in also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That means you have to go to school, you have to get a job, you have to work on serving, you have to do everything you have to do to be able to survive on this earth. But don't put that aside, or don't do that at the expense of what matters most at the end of the day. Your very soul, eternal life, seeking God's commandment and doing what he says to do. Why did Solomon reach this conclusion? Because everything under the earth, under the sun, under this level we are now today, is nothing. They are fleeting. They will end. And when they end, there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot ask for it. You cannot extend it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 So I say here, your dignitas and gravitas, wealth and honor are nothing but dust. Brutal, but true. Sorry, I know. I'm thinking of the mansion you still have to build. Go ahead and build it, no problem with that. The new cars you have to buy, great, go on. At the end of the day, they are dust. Great, great, great men. Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, my riches, all this wealth. Today, where is it? Mention his name, it doesn't profit him nothing. That the legacy has died and gone to hell. The pharaohs build mighty things, and each time they are building, you are looking and say, whoa, the work of my hand, great is. Today, where are they? Nothing. Fleeting moment things at a time we are just pilgrims. Life pilgrimage that we exist in surely comes to an end at a point. What is it that you have above the sun? So concluding, great man I respect, a minister of God, was working with a wealthy, very, very, very wealthy man. I think he's in Arizona here. He said, look, Brother Abraham, yeah. If you look down here all the way for miles and miles, 70 or something, I own all this land. That way the same. Every cattle, everything that says it. And he asked him, what do you have? How many miles do you have up here? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm asking us today, what have you invested in the kingdom of God? Your business will end someday. If you are lucky, you have children that inherit it, will manage you well, or they will run it ground overnight, or they will fight one another over it for nothing, radically kill one another for nothing. Your money and the things you have, the same thing is kind of a sobering message. But I'm saying this so that you can pick up that timepiece and put it on your ear and know that it's saying tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. That is time fleeting. Amen? That is time vaporizing. You cannot recover it. You cannot delay it. You cannot stop it. It is passing. And the only thing that matters is what you do or have done with it to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. A time of reckoning is coming. and is coming for each and every one of us. I pray that it will not be a time of regret. It will be a time of shame, but a time of rejoicing that see God welcome us into his kingdom at the appointed time. I want us to take the word of the preacher, our brother Solomon, seriously. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. Fear God and do what? Keep his commandment. And lead people to do the same by presenting Jesus Christ to them. Let us stand on our feet as we pray. Want anybody who has listened to this message this morning, or will listen in time to come? This is Pastor Emmanuel Oba from Gospel Mission International, Phoenix, Arizona, telling you, time is passing. As your clock or timepiece ticks, you can't recover any of this time. You cannot delay it or stop it. But God is speaking to your heart this morning. If you don't have Jesus Christ, it's an opportunity to give your life to him. If you haven't been making effort to tell others about Jesus Christ, wake up today and start doing it. Some people die and they bury them with their gold and silver. A few months or years down the line, somebody will go and dig it up and steal all of them. You can't carry any of them to God. Naked you come to this world, naked you will also return. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. All that matters, all the legacy, all whatever you think you are worth, is useless if it does not yield eternal life. And you are leaving nothing behind or taking anything with you except what you have done for Christ in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us buckle up, brethren, and fight this battle to the end and in good faith. Not wavering, not shaking. Let us not yield. Let us maintain the rank, not breaking from the fold, but standing firm. This word of God is true, and his word abided forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. And I'm asking any among us here, if you don't have Jesus Christ, an opportunity to give your life to Christ. If you are here this morning and you haven't received Christ, raise your hand wherever you are and we pray. If you are watching from your house or from anywhere this morning, I want to pray with you. If you are believing God for somebody, also recognize as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all those who are in their home or here, wherever they are, thinking, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. It is simple, Lord. The fear of God, the psalmist says, is the beginning of knowledge and also wisdom. Let the fear of the Lord enter into their life. Let them come to realize that all this is futility and nothingness if Jesus Christ is not in our life. Solomon was able to afford and do all this research. And he came to this conclusion that all is vanity, but for those who have found you. I pray that you enter into the life of such this morning who will say, Jesus Christ, come into my life, take your place. From today, I recognize you to be my Savior, my Lord, and my Deliverer. Do it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And grant them their heart desires. That, Father, they will run this race to the end. They will not break rank or fold. They will walk with Jesus when he comes. And they will enter into that eternal kingdom. Where say there will be no more sorrow or suffering or crying or weeping. Because all things are passed away. Everything under the sun is done away with. We are now living in dimension of above the sun. Even in the heavens of heavens. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah.